I'm Donna, and this is Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here today with Pastor Josh, and we're talking about courageous leadership. That's a mouthful right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it is. Let's go.
So what does it mean to lead courageously, and how is that different from simply taking risk? Like, it's a great title, but how do we really break it down?
Yeah, so I think it's really just, so I'll take it in terms of, I think you could use those same words in a non-Christian setting. So like somebody that just decides one day they're going to jump off of a mountain and maybe they grab the gear quick versus the person who jumps off the same mountain but has, like, let's say, rappelling gear or something. And so they can jump off the cliff safely, and they've had the training, they've done the things, but it's still kind of courageous to, you know, rappel down a cliff, right? But that's different than someone who's just being risky and just up and does it.
Can you be courageous and still take risk?
Yeah, but I think courageous has the I am taking a risk, but it's kind of a calculated risk. Like, and I think, so in terms of
you're weighing the win, loss, you're thinking it through.
Yeah, you're not just, I don't know. I think people with courage are always a little bit, that are truly courageous, are a little bit crazy too, but they're doing it in a more calculated way, I think, versus just risk takers that are just going for it.
So,
yeah, push back if you, yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. So you're saying maybe they have a vein of wisdom that also plays into that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That they're, that it is a more risky thing, but they're doing it in a, you know, realistic way. Like, I think there's a risk that I take taking my kids skiing, but there's certain things I do that alleviate the risk. And I think, like, it still takes some courage sometimes to do it, but when you're doing it in a calculated way, I think that's how I see courage. And again, I could be off on that, but that's kind of how I work in it. But I think it does fit into, like, Christianity, because we are called to do risky things. We are called to take risks. We're called to have courage. But I think that's where it comes down to, when we have courage to do the right things, it's always laced. It's always that the courage is always, it comes from God. It comes from prayer. It comes from people that I've talked to. Like, I find that I have the courage to do things when I have other people that believe that this is a good idea. Right. Like, and then when I've had a chance to have other people pray about it, and I prayed about it, it gives me the courage to do the thing that doesn't quite seem natural, or it wouldn't be my default thing wouldn't be to do this, but I can have the courage to do it because of the Bible saying it, because other people support me in it, because
of faith.
Yeah. And that's why I think, like, courage. Right, you can just be a risk taker with, like, the leadership, with your leadership. You can just be a natural risk taker. But courage doesn't come from your natural wiring. It comes from God. It comes from other people. It comes from how you approach it. Yeah.
All right. So we don't script our podcasts, but we do.
Clearly, everybody can clearly say, they're like, yes, we know this. We can hear it.
So true. But we do sit down and have conversation about the direction that they're going to go. So we sat down and we were talking a little bit about courageous leadership, and we thought about three biblical heroes, in a sense, or patriarchs, or whatever, however you want to word it. Who really exemplify courageous leadership. Now, I started it out, and it was quite the discussion, because I picked Noah. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, is he really a courageous leader? Let's talk a little bit about Noah.
No, I don't think I ever said he wasn't a courageous leader.
Okay.
I would agree that he's a courageous leader.
Okay,
yeah.
But...
No, well, let's do the courageous part. Let's do what Noah did well before we jump into the but, because I do have a but coming.
Okay.
You're right, and you did remember that correctly. So the courageous part was, God says build a boat,
And he was faithful and courageous, which is why I chose him.
Yeah, and it wasn't like God said, build a boat right by this lake, and here's how you build the slip so you can slide the boat into the lake once the water comes.
And everybody knows what you're building because they've seen other boats.
Yeah, and by the way, it's going to take like 3 to 4 years because you're building a huge boat. Like, it's going to be probably the biggest structure some of these people have ever seen. And do it because I told you to.
And then you're going to put animals, two of every kind, in it.
Yeah, and I'm going to flood the earth, by the way. This is why you're doing it, even though you've never seen maybe even rain. Some people say it didn't rain at this point, which is crazy to think about. I don't know if that's true or not. But
as Noah's sitting there with mind blown, right?
Yeah. And so there's so many reasons that he shouldn't have trusted God, but Noah was courageous to just trust God.
And faithful.
Yeah, and just take him at his word. Like, that does... It does take courage in a world that isn't always following God to follow God. And so let's not miss the courageous part of Noah, which he was very courageous. Do you want the but?
Yeah, let's go and do it.
Do you want the but now?
Let's go and do it just briefly.
Well, here's the but, and I think I've thought this in my life. I've heard other people ask this question. But God doesn't speak that clearly to me. And it's almost would be easy to be Noah. Because if God told me, do this as clearly as he told Noah, like, it'd be easy. Like, God, I will do anything. But would you just make it a little clearer? Right? I think that's the problem with our courage today, is that God doesn't come down from heaven and say, Josh, I want you to do this. Right? And I think that's the thing that, like, for me anyway, it's easy to look at Noah and say, well, that was kind of easy because God told him just what to do. Like, he gave him the measurements, he gave him the plan.
He was clear. God was very clear. Very clear.
Yeah.
All right. So I knew you were going to say that. So this next question comes from that. How can our leaders remain faithful and courageous when God seems silent or his promises feel distant? How do we do that?
Yeah. I don't know that I have an answer yet, but let's look at two more characters and see if we can get to that answer.
Oh, you're going to come back around.
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay.
Is that okay? Yeah, like I said, we didn't script this.
Well, no, because I thought you'd answer the question.
No, okay. I'm not going to yet. And I think the challenge is that's really hard. And again, I can give you the cliche answers like, well, we read the Bible, we talk to other Christians, we pray. And I think those three things are very true and very helpful. But let's get the full picture before we drill down on them.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay.
All right. So the next one we both agreed on, and that was Peter.
Yeah.
We both saw Peter as a courageous leader.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think what I appreciate so much about Peter is that he was willing to try, right? I think, like, is it possible that we can learn more from our failures than we do from our successes, right? And I think Peter, that embodies so well in Peter. Like, I think Peter wouldn't have been the person that God needed him to be for the church if he hadn't failed. Like, take a moment to think about that. Like, I think that's so key, that if we're going to accomplish anything, we have to fail to get there. And I think that was Peter's courage, that he wasn't, like, he keeps failing. Like, we see him fail over and over in the Bible, and he doesn't seem like Peter, just sit down and shut up. Stop doing so much.
Yep.
But, like, I think he wouldn't have been the person he would unless he was willing to fail. And I think that was Peter's courage that God ended up using in such good ways, that he was willing to fail.
So I'm very impetuous like Peter. I think Peter might have had a little ADD there also. I'm a little of that. But I, like Peter, hate to fail. I hate it. How can leaders embrace failure as part of our growth and courageous leadership?
Yeah, I would just think, remind yourself that if you can learn as much from failure as you can from success, then, you know, be okay with failing.
But it's painful.
It's painful, and we don't want to. And then I think the last part is understand that God shows grace, right? That if our value is truly in the fact that God loved you and died on the cross for you, then failure is not good. Let's just be honest. It's not good. We shouldn't I'm going to fail today. But we don't accomplish anything unless we're willing to mourn the fact that we are going to fail. We have to mourn that fact, rest in God's grace, and then go out and try something. You know, it's the baseball analogy. A good batter, right, hits the ball a third of the time. Well, gets on base a third of the time, right? That's a good batting average, is a yes. third of the time. And so, like,
Babe Ruth struck out more times than he hit home runs.
Yeah, right. And so, like, right. once we realize that, you know, I think we can stop being tied to our value in perfectionism. I think that's what Peter got so well. He understood that his value wasn't in being perfect. And it's not that the failures didn't hurt. It's not that he sought to fail, but God used it. And I think we should have courage in that.
I had this idea that we would feed the homeless population of Aurora, and I was convinced we could do it. So we were going to take our vans down, get some buses. We were going to bring them in. We were going to have this dinner. I had all the volunteers lined up. I had it was laid out beautifully. And two families showed up. I had all these volunteers here. I had all the food. We ended up packing it up, taking it down to Jesus Saved. I remember sitting on the back stairs sobbing because I was sure I had failed miserably. And in front of a lot of people, I had failed. People were really gracious and they were very kind. And I'm not sure a lot of people even still remember it, but I remember,
you remember
it. Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes for me to see myself as a courageous leader when the possibility of facing that kind of failure again.
Yeah. So it's fascinating though to me, like, what is Jesus? So Peter fails, he disowns Jesus, like probably biggest failure in the whole Bible,
right?
One of them would be Peter. Like, he disowns Jesus, then Jesus comes after him, right? And what does Jesus come after him with? What does he say to him?
I was looking at the next question.
Yeah. No. So what does Jesus say to Peter? It's fascinating. He says,
"You're the rock that I'm going to build my church on."
Not yet. Not, that's before. That's actually before he disowned Jesus. So it's in the book of John. They're fishing. Peter runs to Jesus. And Jesus says three times, he says, "Feed my lambs." But what's crazy about it is it's not just, "Oh, Peter, you're loved, you're forgiven, you're my son." It's what? It's you're still fit for ministry. Like, isn't that fascinating? It's still, even though you've failed, you're still fit to do things for other people. And I think that's just the wonderfulness of God's grace, is that God didn't need Peter to be perfect. He needed him to know that he was forgiven and be willing to try again. And I think that's all we can do, because we can't always dictate the outcomes, right? We can learn from it. We can do better next time, but we can't always dictate the outcomes. But what God needs from us is just being willing. And just, let's just stop there. He just needs us to be willing.
I wish you'd been there that night. I can use those words.
You probably wouldn't have heard me that night. But.
All right, the final one you selected. We kind of went back and forth. We talked a little bit about Mary, mm-hmm. Who was worthy. Jonah, yeah. Who was, again, really yeah. worthy of this. But we landed on Paul.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, and what's different for Paul from me, and I actually had to look this up, but how many times did God or an angel appear to Paul? Because the reality is Noah got the direct instructions, right? He said, "Do this." Peter got to walk with Jesus, and it was Jesus in the flesh that came after him. Paul, I looked at it.
And
like,
Noah heard the voice of
Noah
God.
Noah heard the voice of God and was told exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. Paul, he hears the voice of God on the road to Emmaus, and then there's two little times where he's just simply encouraged by an angel and just said, it's almost something like, "You're doing the right thing." It's not even, "Here's what your next step is," but it's, "You're doing the right thing." And so Paul's courage, it's fascinating. I think Paul's courage, it flowed out of, yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, the call he had by Jesus. But by the way, we all have the same call as Paul in our baptism. And then there was just a few angels along the way that built him up. Like, he never gets the direct revelation from God of, "This is what you're supposed to do." In fact, his call to go to the Gentiles doesn't even come from God himself. It comes from a church. It comes from a body of believers saying, "Paul, this is what Jesus taught us. This is what your life looks like." Paul never got the direct revelation from God that you're supposed to travel to all these towns. He knew he was supposed to preach the gospel. He knew Jesus said, go and make disciples. He knew the church saw something in him and called him to go. But like what that looks like for him, he has the courage to go to all these towns and be beat up and put in prison when he's not exactly sure every step of the way if he's doing what God wants him to do, in the sense of that he's in the exact town, in the exact place that God, because God never told him to go to Ephesus. God never told him to go to Philippi. God never told him to go to Greece. God never told him to go to Rome, right? He's just trusting that if I'm going the wrong place, God's going to redirect my path, right? Like, and I think it's fascinating that I think Paul's the person we look at when we wonder, where do I have courage? Because I don't have that call like Noah. Jesus didn't walk with me for 4 years like Peter. Like, I get to have courage because this is what the community of Christ does, and this is how I fit into it.
So it's almost like Paul, he faced this incredible opposition, and he almost fed off of it. Like, it almost drove him a little bit, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that, like, when he was facing opposition, because Jesus said, and he would have known the words of Jesus, the other disciples would have taught him, that when you face persecution, you're doing the right thing. When you face hard, let's just water it down to that. Let's keep persecution out of it. When you face hard, that sometimes means you're doing the right thing. And I think sometimes we want to run from hard. We want to, you know, not quite feed into our family sometimes because it's hard to have that conversation, or it's hard to bring that up with our kid. We want to kind of back off because we think hard means bad and easy means good. But I think Paul did, in a way, he was courageous to go after the hard when it was the right thing. And again, don't miss the fact that, like, he was in the scripture. He knew he had probably the Old Testament memorized. He had learned from Jesus. He was with other Christians. He never went by himself. Like, don't miss community and the word of God in there. But hard didn't mean that he stopped. Hard meant sometimes that he went into it.
So how do leaders develop resilience and perseverance when their courage is met with criticism or obstacles? How do we do it?
Yeah, I think as other community people, like, I think we do it's very biblical to go two by two, to go with someone else. I think we have a tendency to kind of try to do things and try to lead by ourselves. And I think, you know, well, even how our church is structured, like, the natural is that I'm the leader and I tell everybody what to do and I'm kind of walking by myself. But like what I'm called to do is have other people walking with me. And so I think that would be a big one, because when you have other people that you can process what's going on with and you can agree, no, we're doing the right thing, it gives us the courage, right? I think I said that at the start, when I can have courage easier when somebody agrees with me. Right. And so I think, like, that community is so important. Like, if you're trying to lead by yourself, that's a really hard place to be. And again, there's a burden of leadership that exists no matter what. Leading is hard, but don't do it by yourself.
And it's great to have that other person to share the wins, mm-hmm. and to be able to process when it wasn't a win, yeah. and to be able to say, how do we do it better?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think more and more, as I think about leadership, like, a criteria for leadership should be that you have somebody you're leading with, right? And a lot of times we just want to find the person and put them in the place and you're good. But like, who can you bring alongside of you? And again, if you're leading by yourself, who's in that ministry that has the same passion that you can relate with well, that you can enjoy doing ministry with? Like, I think that's so important.
Yeah, I remember somebody a while back said to me, it's not just finding a warm body, it's finding somebody who's gifted and passionate about what they're doing. And that was a game changer in my ministry, to people that loved what they were doing, loved the people they were serving with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, in a world that's so hungry for relationships, like, what if we saw leading as serving as the way that we could have a deep relationship with someone, right? Like, I think that's such a, because you have the same passion, you're working for the same thing. So, like, do it together, like, and just enjoy that person. And I would say, yeah, criteria of it should be that you enjoy being with them. Like, they can have all the skills and abilities and the same passion as you, but if you don't enjoy being with that person, they might not be your co-leader. Like, but I think, you know, to look for that and to pray for that and is really important.
All right, so I'm going to take us back.
Okay.
What does a leader do, or how do they remain faithful and courageous when God seems silent or his promises feel distant?
Yeah, it's to believe that God can speak through his word and through other people. And I think that's what Paul did. Like, I don't think his courage came just from himself. I think it came from Barnabas and John Mark and the other people, the Silas, right? And the other people. It came from the people that have sent them. Like, I think that's why it's so important. Like, when you're leading, like, talk to Donna about how you see yourself leading so that we can give you, I don't want to call it a stamp of approval, but I kind of want to do that way. Like, so if you're leading, especially somewhere here at church, like if you're leading in this way, like talk to us about it, because we want to say, yeah, we support you. I can see you doing that. And I think that gives great confidence. Paul was sent by a church. And when somebody believes in you, I think it can make all the difference in the world. I look back, and I didn't even serve at this church, but there was a church in Buffalo, New York, when I was first coming out of seminary that wanted me to come. And they sent, there was some stuff with synod or seminary. I want to get into the politics of that, but like, I didn't go there. I didn't go where I wanted to. I went to a different church in New York. But the fact that that church believed in me, wanted me, was in conversation with me, supporting me, praying for me, like they did all that stuff because they believed in me. That's made a huge difference in my life, because I went to a different church, but I went to that church and someone believed in me. And so I think, like, give us the opportunity to talk with you and believe in you, whether that's, I want to lead in my family better. Like, let's talk about this so that we can believe in you and that we can tell you we have your back. Because I think that being sent is so important. And especially if you want to lead somewhere here at peace, if God puts that thing on your heart, you want to be encouraged to do this thing, like talk to us so we can support you and give you, again, I don't want to say stamp of approval in that you have to have
I
want to say it in stamp of approval in the sense of, yeah, there's someone besides you that believes that you can do this.
Well, and ultimately God believes in you. If he's put that on your heart,
yeah,
then he believes in you,
yeah,
to lead that. Your family,
yeah,
your marriage,
yeah,
your ministry that you have a passion to see take off.
Yeah, yeah, but having other people,
yes,
that believe that about you too is so much better. I think that can give you the courage.
Not better than God's approval.
No, not better than God's, but
right,
it completes what God's,
yes,
doing. And not that God isn't complete in himself, but what do you do when you don't hear that voice? What do you do when you wonder, well, did God really want me to do this? Well, the hope is that God can use me and say, no, well, Pastor thought that I would be great at this. Right. And then, or Donna, or, you know, my friend, like, but let somebody else into it and let them honestly speak into you. And that's part of why we like do spiritual gifts and do that. And so that we can kind of see a little bit of who you are. And so we can say, no, this is why this would fit for you. This is what I've seen in you. And I think we, you know, it makes it easier to see where God is calling you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. All right. So what's your takeaway today? For leaders, what do you really want them to kind of grasp onto today?
Yeah, that God can speak to you directly, but he can also speak through other Christians and through his word. And don't miss that you don't need a voice in your head from God to follow him. You can, other Christians in your life can speak to you and let them.
And don't be afraid to be messy about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay,
yeah,
to step into the messiness of courageous leadership.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect,
yeah,
for you to get started.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us for this discussion on courageous leadership. We'll see you in the next episode.